Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. And I'm your host, T.S. Wright. And I am so glad you could join us today. And if you haven't already, make sure you hit that follow, subscribe button, and give us a like, as that helps us to continue to bring you the content that you love to hear and we love and graciously are blessed to give to you. So, without further ado right now, I just want to introduce a guy that has a very compelling story. His testimony alone is worth him being on this podcast, but he also has a book, and he's got all this other pieces of a ministry that he wants to talk to you about. And we're going to kind of just open up the air and let him take off here in just a minute. But I want you guys to really hone in on this message, because this message is that all of us have some type of you're going to feel yourself in this message a little bit. And so I've looked at some of his information and have actually had that for a while. And we finally were able to get this scheduled and get him on here. So without further ado, I want to welcome Mike Smith, the Gutter Gospel, to the show.
Hey, T.S., I'm glad to be on, man. I really appreciate the invite. Ready to get going and dig into all my information. I know we got limited time, but I'll do my best to get it all in the show today. So just for starters.
Take it away, my friend.
Yeah, just for starters, I grew up in Sauk Center, Minnesota. And when I was 12 years old, my dad was fired from his job. So he moved up to a small town in outside of Fargo called Barnesville. And when I was 12 years of age, that happened over the Christmas break is when we moved. That, and I didn't have any friends in high school except one. And it was a tough road. Not only that, but 3 years into the journey, T.S., my dad passed away of a massive heart attack. Yeesh. And that put the family in dire straits to survive. That was my first suicide attempt. I'm a two-time suicide survivor. I got to mention that as well. And so, you know, my mom did her best to run the clothing store, but there was five kids to feed and herself and dealing with all of her grief, you know, losing her husband. So she would make it clear when she'd come home at night that we were losing the house, we were losing the store to the bank, and I had to find my own way in life. And for me, that meant trying college for a year. I flunked out of there. So now I got student loans to pay. And that's what wound me up in the military. I joined the Air Force because my dad was in the Air Force for no other reason. That was back in the 1980s. So I joined in 84. That's when Nancy Reagan and her husband Ronald had their big war on drugs. And it just so happened that I fell into a group of guys that were my friends, so to speak, that were all smoking marijuana. And about a year or so into that, one gentleman that we were doing that with came on base and tried to sell a pound of marijuana to an undercover agent. They busted him, and he named names of people that were also using. So then I was discharged. And I remember one story that stayed with me about the first introduction I had to the gospel was they embarrassed me because I was attached to the hospital unit. And I was out in the hot Texas sun waxing ambulances, and this little old lady came up to me and handed me one of those little Bible tracts. So I started reading it, and I said, "Oh, I can't accept this, ma'am." And I told her my name. So she goes, "Well, why not, Mike?" And I said, "Because first off, I'm an alcoholic. Second of all, I'm a drug addict. And last but not least, they're kicking me out of the military here in about 3 days. So I don't know where I'm going to wind up." And So she was saying stuff like, oh, God loves sinners and, you know, let me pray with you and all this other stuff. So that stuck with me all my life. You know, like I said, that was my first introduction really to the gospel. We were raised in a Catholic family, not to disparage that faith, but never really heard the gospel message much growing up in those in that church. But anyway, so I came back to Fargo, Moorhead specifically, in my U-Haul from the military. And I had a tough road in life. I had to work construction 7 days a week, 12-hour shifts. And I bumped into a buddy of mine that I met in college for that 1 year. And he was my marijuana supplier. So it just so happened that we wound up renting a house together to grow high-grade marijuana so that we could kind of subsidize our house rent with that. And there's couple sample chapters in my book on theguttergospel.com that you can read about what happened during that time in the summer of 88 was my first manic episode. I've had bipolar disorder undiagnosed for several years, and that was my first manic break. So once again, guys, if you are online, go to theguttergospel.com, type in the sample chapters tab up top, you'll see it. And the first one describes that. The second sample chapter happened 11 years later over Thanksgiving in 1999. I'll never forget it. I was listening to the Tony Robbins tapes, Personal Power, back in the day. And this was when Y2K was all going on and people didn't know, you know, about the computers, if they were going to work at the first of the year. So that was all going on. But I was cycling really severely. And what happened, guys, is that I actually toured hell in a padded cell in a straitjacket. When the ambulance came to my house to take me there, my wife commented that she could see my eyes roll back in my head because I was so terrified. And so I wound up in there for 3 days going through what it would be like if I was to forever be cast into hell. And that started me finally being diagnosed 11 years after my first manic episode. So if there's people out there listening to my voice and they have mental illness, you know, I would really encourage them to go to my help pages, my Help Everyone tab, Help for Everyone up top. You'll see links in there to the prayer line. You'll see the suicide prevention line in there and other links that will help you out. I also share on the shows I do that I would like to have people reach out to me personally if after hearing my testimony, they feel like they can relate to me, but they can't relate to other people. I open that up. And that's how I start my day every day, is to read those emails, respond to those people. After that, I read out of the Life Recovery Bible because I am in recovery. And it's been a journey. I did wind up in two different military homeless shelters in my journey. I wound up getting civil commitments placed on me, both in North Dakota and in Minnesota. I was institutionalized for 6 weeks out in Jamestown, North Dakota. I was so mentally ill and spent time in a couple different jails. So my journey in life, guys, was really all inclusive when it came to the whole mental health thing, not having my medications balanced properly. So that kind of gets you started from point A to point B. Today, my life is about helping other people. I was sharing before I came on air that I'm really involved in a lot of men's groups in town. The jail chaplain ministry is one that I'm really involved heavily with. And there's others as well that I attend every day of the week. There's a different Bible study or men's group for me to go to. So I lead one tonight. I'll be doing it again on Thursday nights over in Moorhead at the Salem campus. We read out of the Life Recovery Bible, how God views people that have that in their background, either mental health issues or addiction or whatever. So it helps to kind of cope. And that's kind of wrapping it up in a nice bow, you know, to show everybody what I'm up to these days. I just was sharing before I came on air about this food pantry out in Dilworth, Minnesota called Seeds of Hope that I'm involved with as a fundraiser and a marketing guy to go on my podcast that I do. I've been featured on every continent almost and over 180 some countries with my shows since the first of the year. And I had my book published out in Brooklyn Publishers last January. And what fueled that, guys, was that my best friend died of cancer last December 14th. And I was taking Brad to all of his radiation appointments, was taking him out to eat. And, you know, Brad asked me a question one time when he was really sick and the end was coming. He said, Mike, do you think I'm going to die soon? And it was such a poignant question. I had to stop and say, well, you know, Brad, my friend, even if that's going to happen to you, and I'm not saying it is, that you are going to leave this world and me behind it to have to deal with such a messed up place and all the pain and suffering that everybody has to endure in life. So you're going to be in a much better place up in heaven, you know. So I encouraged him about that. And I said, you know, please pray for me because I don't know if I'll be up there with you. So he got a kick out of that. But anyway, yeah, so these days, guys, like I said, I'm really involved in the group, the men's groups, the church. I really like our local church. It's called Bethel Church down in South Fargo. I live right outside of Fargo in a town called West Fargo. And I have three dogs that are a handful and take a lot of my free time, but I'm blessed to have them. So, yeah, I have that going on, my podcasts and my men's groups and also, you know, the food pantry and kind of a lot of irons in the fire. But the message I really want to convey today to people is that if you are struggling with mental health, you know, there is hope. And don't give up, you know, because my suicide, the second one, the attempt was that I was hanging myself in the basement of our house with an electrical cord. And I heard this still small voice saying, Mike, your life still has a purpose. And that stopped me. So I'm just kind of now looking back on the journey I've had in life. And it resonates with a lot of people because the name of it, the Gutter Gospel, is so... how should I put it nicely? It's very relevant to just about everybody on the planet. You know, ever since the fall of mankind, we've all had our struggles. So I happen to just be in the gutter in life longer than most people have. So I'm kind of the ultimate prodigal son. I remember being on a psych unit back in 2019 before I got my benefits and my medications balanced. And that was this gentleman I became friends with said, Mike, you remind me a lot of Job in the Bible. You don't have anything to your name right now. You lost everything and everybody. But I think one day it's all going to be coming around to you 10,000 fold and then some. And that's what's happened in my life. So I wanted to get that out there. You know, I met a lot of good veterans along my journey. Some of them have sadly taken their own life. And these days I'm about that. You see on my shirt here, it says 22 veterans per day with the crosses on there. And that's awareness to the suicide rates among veterans, which is far too high. So yes. I have these custom shirts that I wear to bring awareness to that. A lot of people stop me out in public and kind of start the conversation with me. So then I lead them to kind of my path, you know, to get them into a small men's group or church or both or whatever. So that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
So I want to say this. First of all, that thing with the veterans that you're talking about is something that's kind of near and dear to my heart as well, just because my grandfather fought in World War II. And not only my grandfather, but my great uncle, he got a Purple Heart. He was awarded a Purple Heart at the Battle of the Bulge because he got shot at the Battle of the Bulge. And he was actually still fighting in Germany against Nazis four weeks after the armistice.
Wow.
Yeah. And so there's some interesting stories there. My other grandfather told me it was his brother. And he said, yeah, they were pinned down and about to run out of ammo. And these SS troops were still fully armed, and they were, they had them trapped, and then Patton and his tanks rolled in at the last minute and, saved them. So that, I mean, that stuff really happened. And so, hearing those stories and all those stuff, that just, it always, in the things that my grandfather shared with me.
Yeah.
So veterans have always kind of had that place for me. And I couldn't join the military because I had a congenital heart issue. And I never had a chance to do that. So that, you know, unfortunately, because I actually was kind of wanting to go to the Naval Academy, and I had math scores and I was an athlete and everything, but I would never gotten past the physical exam with the the heart thing. And so, you know.
Yeah. I got a story for you. You were talking just about your when the tanks rolled in with Patton. That reminds me of this story that kind of parallels that. I've got a really good veteran friend up here that was in Vietnam, and he has PTSD very severely and works two full-time jobs plus and sleeps hardly no time at all at night. And his story, his name's Tom, shared with me that he was pinned down by the enemy over there, and somebody in his unit was freaking out and giving up their position. So Tom had to shoot him in the head to, you know, save their own behind from being, you know, killed themselves. So he struggles with that PTSD as a result of that. So he's a great guy. I've got a photo of him I'm going to have to send you. You can tell he's a Vietnam vet because he's old and gray and he's got this long ponytail. He's kind of his own man, but he's got a good heart, and we've had some great conversations over the years. So friends with a lot of the veterans. When I go to the VA for my care, you know, in my custom shirts, I get a lot of people just saying, you know, hey, man, I'm really proud of you for what you're doing. I heard about your story or whatever. So, I just do what I can, you know, for awareness and helping out where I can in life these days. And I'm on a good path. So wouldn't change my life these days for anything, TS. I've come through the fire and I've lived to tell about it. So
amen.
I'm just, you know, the name of my book is The Gutter Gospel, and the subtitle is The Road to Redemption. It's about the road back, you know, and how we find our way back to God after being in the gutter in life. So you can pick a copy of that up at the bottom of my homepage on my website, theguttergospel.com. If you don't want to pay the $7.99, guys, here's what I'll do. You can go to the show notes after we get off here, and you can reach out to me and email me, and I'll give you a free copy. And all I ask in return is for you to donate whatever you can on my website, and that money all goes to feed the food pantry guys out here in Fargo and Dilworth. So that's kind of something I wanted to get out there and make clear, that I want to not charge for the book. I want to just leave it up to God and their individual hearts to say, Mike's story touched me and blessed me. So maybe we can donate X amount to the food pantry because they're in dire need of donations.
Amen. So, amen. Yes, so, Mike, one thing I want you to talk a little bit about is you talked some about prison ministry.
Oh, the jail chaplains. Yeah, it just so happened that Eric Johnson and
Mike. Talk some about that a little bit.
Yeah, what they do there is they work with guys transitioning out of jail, right, and get them into, there's a couple different programs in town. One's called Project Genesis, and that's a house where it's a clean house where they can go and hear the gospel, and they go to the small men's groups that I attend. Great guys I met through there. So I'm just now becoming a facilitator. So I lead small men's groups of those people that I'm in training for it now. So it's going to happen in a few weeks. So I want to be clear about that. But I train in that every Tuesday with the guys from jail chaplains from noon to one every week. So there's about six of us that are in training right now through that program. So looking forward to that a lot, to get in there and say, you know, hey guys, I've been through the battles too. I've been in Cass County Jail. I've been in St. Cloud Jail. So I can share with you that our stories mesh in a lot of ways. So,
So one of the things too that I just want to mention on this is that I always think one of the hardest things for people maybe to embrace is the fact that, you know what, just because somebody's in prison and they have done something to deserve to be in prison does not mean that they're out of the reach of the gospel. And I'm actually, I've actually have a message coming out that I'm going to do for a Sunday message that is going to talk about the most hideous of all sinners in the history of mankind.
Yeah.
And Jesus chose to reach this individual.
Yeah.
And allow him to be saved. So if Jesus is willing to reach the worst of all sinners.
Yes.
Then that means even people in prison deserve to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
And, and I'm not just talking about somebody that has committed petty crimes. I'm talking about hardened crimes, hardened criminals. And I'm going to say this, is that we all deserve to not hear the gospel. Every person does not, nobody deserves to be saved. I mean, let's just face it. Right. We're all sinful and we have fallen short of God's glory. We know that. Romans 3:23. Okay.
Yes.
But because God chooses to reach one of us, that means all of us deserve to hear it. And God wants us to hear it. He wants every person to come to him. And he wants every person to be saved. Now, that hardened criminal, that person, as far as paying their consequence, they deserve to pay their consequence on earth, but not eternally.
Right.
I don't want that person to pay eternally, because that's a never-ending sentence. You know, and there's a difference, and there's a huge difference there. And I think we all need to realize that. And I think Erica Kirk and what she said about Charlie's killer, that she forgives him and she's just letting the judicial system handle it. She doesn't want his blood on her hands. And the way she said that, I thought was an amazing testimony.
Right.
To the fact that every person should be reached. And I pray that even Charlie Kirk's killer receives Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I'll share two things with you guys. Number one, you know, I shared about that sample chapter when I was in hell. And guys, you know, there's a good friend of mine from my small men's group that says eternity is for all the marbles. And there's either a smoking or a non-smoking section. Yeah. And I'll share this. For what I experienced,
I like that. Smoking or non-smoking?
Yes, sir.
I'll take the non-smoking, okay?
Amen, right? So anyway, that's my buddy Brad. But so that was his comment. And the two verses in the Bible that I kind of resonate with the most these days is Revelations 12:11 that says we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And then it says the word of our testimony. We're here to share our testimony because we've all got a powerful story to share. It might not be as strong and having all the trials that Mike had to go through in life. But the point being is that the second verse in the Bible that I really resonate with a lot is right out of the beginning of Psalms 40, which is you pull me out of the miry pit and put me on a sure foundation. And the gutter gospel is all about being in the miry pit for years. So that's how that all kind of ties together.
Amen. So you've kind of, you really understand that, and working with all these different types of people, you know what, you know, basically not only what's at stake for them, but kind of where their mindset is in life.
Exactly.
And so, you know, your gutter gospel and the story that you have in your testimony alludes to the fact that you have a really good understanding of that hopelessness and that despair that comes. So here's what we want to do now. So Mike, I want you to share with our viewers where they can get the book and how they can get in connection with you.
Okay. You can go on Google Mike Smith, The Gutter Gospel. You can pull me up there. There's several links on that. You can go to my YouTube channel, Altogether, The Gutter Gospel, no spaces. You can reach out to me on the website. Like I said, if you want to pick up a copy of the book, I don't want you spending the $7.99, but I would rather you get in contact with me, and that will be in the show notes, my email. So like I mentioned earlier, I read those first thing in the morning. So oh, I got a little buddy here that wants to be on the show. I don't know.
Yeah, I got me a couple little buddies too that'll be on the show every second and sitting in my lap every second.
he always tries to sneak on the shows and make his appearance, but he's as cute as a little button. So you guys can reach me through any one of those channels, and I'll be happy to talk to you if you feel like nobody else understands you. So I'll leave it at that.
All right. You need to get a pair of sunglasses and put him up on the screen, and man, he's Mr. Hollywood, baby. He is Mr. Hollywood.
Well, I did a podcast with this little senior out in New York City in high school. She was just starting out, and Baxter made an appearance on that show, and she loved him. He was very disruptive, but he's very cute too. So,
amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for your time,
Hey, so let me let me do this. And now that Mike has shared all this with us, I just want to say thank you to our Kingdom Crossroads community for being such great supporters. And thank you for tuning in to today's episode. I also want to thank Mike for being on the show. And again, hit that follow, subscribe button, give us a like, as it helps us continue bringing that great content that you love to hear and we love and feel blessed to give to you. On behalf of myself and Mike, I now sign off saying, go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. And we just want to give a big shout out to Richardson, Texas, who is a community that is a big supporter of our show. And they download a lot of shows and listen to everything that we put out there. And we just want to say we thank you for that. And we hope at some point that we can come visit you and be able to minister to you guys and to bring you the God-centered concept to your area. And that goes for every area we've given shout outs to. And if you want us to come to your area, then get more people to download our show, as that is the areas that we want to focus on, are the ones that are really listening and tuning in. And we want to be able to come to you guys and be able to minister to you the discipleship program that we have in person and getting you guys connected to our online programs. So please reach out to us. Let us know that you're listening. We can obviously, we see it in our downloads and our numbers, but we also, if you give us a message, we can also respond that way. Thank you guys so much for being great listeners, Richardson, Texas. We are praying for you, and we pray the gospel continues to impact you and our show impacts you in every way. God bless every one of you, and thank you. And we hope to hear from you soon.